Chapter 9. Monday, October 15th.
Addie, 12:15 p.m. I have to work with TJ in science, and we have a good time. He tells me he likes my short hair, and I laugh. Everybody hates my hair. But he's serious. It's nice to see your face without your hair covering it. He says it's nice to hear me laugh, because I was so quiet when Jake was around, always agreeing with what he said. As I leave science, I hear a voice behind me. It's Jake, and I'm afraid of what he's going to say to me. He's not smiling, but he doesn't look mad either. He says, "Do you want to talk sometime?" Of course I do. Yes. Okay. This afternoon? I'll text you. Then he adds, "God, you don't look like yourself with your hair like that." I'm about to say, "I know," when I remember what TJ said about me always agreeing with Jake. "Well, I am myself," I say, and walk away.
Nate, 3:15 p.m. There were reporters outside of the school entrance again, so Bronwyn and I went on my bike up the hill behind the school. She isn't supposed to be with me, and Maeve is telling lies for us. Bronwyn tells me that she called Eli Kleinfelter and asked him what he thought about the investigation so far. He repeated the things he said on television about the police needing to investigate other people as well. "Like Mr. Avery," she says. "He found the phones in our bags. Did he put them there? He was in his lab all day. Did he put the oil in a cup? Did he do it because he got so angry about students and technology?" This makes me laugh. And she adds that, actually, the police don't really seem to be interested in Mr. Avery. Then she tells me Eli also mentioned the car accident. He said maybe someone came into the room while we were looking out the window. "Does he really think the car accident was planned?" I say, staring at her. "Planned so somebody could come in and put peanut oil in Simon's cup? So we would be accused of murder." "Well, I don't think any of us did it," she says. "Bronwyn," I say, "we don't really know each other. None of us do."
"You could have done it. You're smart enough."
I'm joking, but she answers angrily.
"How can you say that?"
"Anything is possible," I reply, holding out my hand so I can pull her to her feet. "Maybe you brought me here to push me down the hill and break my neck." Now she's laughing, and I'm finding it hard to breathe because of the way she looks with the afternoon sun shining on her hair. She whispers in my ear, "I promise not to murder you." And then I kiss her before she can laugh again. She wraps her arms round my neck like she's never going to let go. And I can smell her green apple hair. We keep kissing till she pulls away, saying, "Nate, I can hear my phone. It's Maeve." She looks at the screen and says, "Oh God, the police want me at the police station." Then, before I think about it too much, I say, "Tell Maeve to meet us at my house." And when we get there, there's someone at the front door. It isn't a reporter. It's my mom.
Bronwyn, 4:10 p.m. When I get to the police station, my mother, Robin, my lawyer, and a detective are already there. I feel sick when I see a laptop. The detective asks me if I know about another site Simon had where he wrote longer posts. But before I can answer, Robin tells him I won't say anything until we know why I'm here. The detective turns the laptop round so I can see the screen. One of the other students told us about this post from 18 months ago, Bronwyn. Do you recognize it? I know what I'm going to see. I've worried for weeks about it. I wish I'd said something, but it's too late now. There's a long post about an end-of-year party in my freshman year, but all I see is the part I remember. There were too many little kids there, and here's a bit of advice for one of them, M.R. 1. Don't follow S.C. around. A star basketball player doesn't want a little pet dog. 2. Don't drink 2 beers if they make you do a terrible dance on the kitchen table. Bad idea. 3. Don't be sick in the washing machine. That's rude. And guys, let's not hear any more about poor little thing had cancer. Grow up, MR. I remember Maeve being excited about her first party. And how, after she'd read Simon's post, she refused to go out again. I remember my anger with Simon. Explain why we're here, Robin says to the detective coolly. This seems to be about Bronwyn's sister, Maeve, he replies. The initials MR and the part about cancer don't fit with any other student. My mother's face is red, and her voice is shaking when she speaks. Why have you brought us here to read that horrible post by a boy who clearly had problems? The detective calmly tells us that other students have said Maeve never joined in social events after this post. He asks me if I hated Simon for writing it. Bronwyn is not going to say anything, says Robin. The detective turns the laptop round, presses a few keys, and then turns it back to face us. But Bronwyn did say something, he says. My mother, Robin, and I read what I wrote. Go away and die, Simon.
Addie, 4:15 p.m. I can tell by the look on Jake's face that he didn't ask me to his house so we could become friends again. And I realize I'm actually not disappointed. How's the investigation going? He asks. Cooper never talks about it anymore. Do the police still think that one of you did it? I don't want to talk to Jake about the investigation. The police still keep asking me about the EpiPens, and my lawyer says it's because they don't have any real evidence. I just make up a stupid story and tell Jake how a detective once ate a whole plate of cookies while he was interviewing the four of us. When I finish, Jake says, "So they still don't know what happened?" Bronwyn's sister thinks people should be looking at Simon more, I say. Why Simon? He's dead. Because the police might find suspects they haven't thought about? Other people who had reasons for hating him? So they're saying Simon is the cause of all this? Jake sounds annoyed. If people hadn't done horrible things, he wouldn't have started about that. You know that, Addie. That doesn't mean he was a great guy, I say, realizing it's unusual for me to disagree with Jake. I didn't invite you here to argue with me, he says. Why did you invite me here? Maybe I'm still worried about you. Jake looks away from me as he says this. And I ought to know what's going on. I keep getting calls from reporters. He sounds like he's waiting for me to apologize. But I suddenly decide I've done enough of that. It would be nice if you stopped hating me, Jake,
I say. How can I? You cheated on me and lied about it, Addie. You're not who I thought you were. I'm starting to think that that's a good thing. I don't have to talk to you. I guess I'll see you around, I say. As I'm cycling home, for the first time in a long time, I feel free.
Cooper, 4:20 p.m. I'm sick of all the attention from the media, at school, at home, and online. This afternoon, as I arrive at the gym where I'm meeting Luis, a smart young woman hurries toward me. Do you have a few minutes? I'm Liz from Channel 7 News. I don't answer, and she follows me, but she's not allowed into the gym. Luis and I don't talk about it, but when we're ready to leave, he says, "Give me your things and your keys." What? I'll be you. I'll go out the front door wearing your cap and sunglasses. They won't know the difference. Take my car and go where you want. We can change cars at school tomorrow. I'm sure it won't work. But it does. Luis drives out the car park with a couple of cars following him. I put on his hat and sunglasses and leave a few minutes later. I go into town and drive around for half an hour because I'm so worried someone is following me. Finally, I drive to North Park and stop in front of an old factory that was made into apartments last year. I shouldn't be here. What if someone recognizes me? I unlock the front door as quickly as I can. When I knock on the door of a top-floor apartment, I'm not sure anyone will be in. I didn't call or text to say I was coming. The door opens and Chris looks really surprised. What are you doing here? I didn't want to go home, I say. And I guess we should talk about this Simon thing. Later, he says, pressing his lips against mine. I close my eyes and kiss him back.